And we will begin reading in verse number 12, John chapter 15 and verse number 12. Shall we stand out of the honor of reading of God's word? Stretch a little bit if we're able to. John chapter 15 and verse number 12, beginning reading in verse 12. The Bible says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for your goodness to us. Lord, as the young men just sang before, Lord, we are thankful for our salvation. Lord, we are thankful that you came to us. You chose us. We are thankful, Lord, to be in a country where we can serve you freely. We thank you for a church, Lord, a lighthouse in the community. Lord, it's very evident tonight we're in a church that has a vision. It has a shepherd and a pastor who's on a mission and has a vision for this church and for this flock, Lord. Lord, we are thankful for that. And Lord, we've come tonight to hear from your word. Lord, I believe we did not just come to hear singing and to worship, but we did come for that. But we've also come to hear a truth from your word that will equip in us and sharpen us, Lord, to serve you better. So, Lord, I pray now that you would allow this message from your word to be a help. Lord, I pray you would give me unction from on high and have me say only what you would and nothing else. It's in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in John chapter 15, we find Jesus speaking. And I believe we find here in John 15 one of the most encouraging passages in all the Bible. I believe that because we see here that the Lord Jesus Christ desires to be our friend. It doesn't matter who we are tonight. It doesn't matter what our last name is. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian or how long we've been in church. The truth is that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, desires to be our friend. To me, that's a humbling thought. The fact that the Lord knows all about me. He knows my past. He knows my shortcomings, my insecurities. He knows the person I am today. And yet he desires to be my friend. I think one of the greatest gifts that God gives us on this earth is friendship. Friendship. I think there's just something special about friendship, something special about that person that you could call a personal friend. Maybe someone comes to mind tonight, someone maybe who's helped you in a time in your life, maybe lent you some money, maybe someone who invited you into their home and put a roof over your head when you needed somewhere to stay, maybe someone who lent you their car. Maybe someone who helped you in a time of need in your life that you could, no matter what you did, repay them for that time in your life where they helped you. May I remind us this evening that that's who the Lord desires to be in our life. He desires to be that friend who meets the needs that we have in our life. He desires to be our friend. I believe so many times as Christians or maybe as people in the church, they have a misconception of what God is and who God is. We think so many times that God is a man, an old man in heaven who's just looking down and looking to correct us when we make a mistake. He has a rule stick in his hand. He's just waiting to hit us over our wrist or our hand when we mess up. May I remind us this evening that the Lord desires to be our friend. We see here in John 15, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. It doesn't matter who we are tonight. The Lord desires to be our friend. He desires to be that friend that we can go to. Doesn't matter what time it is. Doesn't matter when it is, what day of the week. You have that person you could call a close friend. Doesn't matter when it is, you could call them. You have a need in your life. Doesn't matter what time it is. Maybe you have a blessing you just want to share with someone. You want to call that person and share the blessing. That's who God desires to be in our life this evening in 2019. That person that we can call a friend. Maybe you have a need in your life tonight. Maybe you have a financial need tonight. Maybe you have a relationship need tonight. Maybe you have a health need tonight. The Lord desires to be that person that you can go to with that need. I remember my senior year of high school, my family had a need in our life. Big need. My mom was battling cancer, terminal cancer. My mom was only 44 years old, beautiful pastor's wife. She had come down with a very rare form of cancer called anaplastic carcinoma. After the prognosis of her tumor that was taken out of her throat, we rushed her to MD Anderson, the top cancer hospital in all the world. Out of the thousands and thousands of patients that they treat on a daily basis, they only treat 12 of these in a year. That's how rare this form of cancer is. It's highly aggressive and it spreads throughout the body. The doctor, after the prognosis, gave her a diagnosis of this anaplastic carcinoma and gave her 6 to 7 months to live. Told her, get your things in order. And I'll never forget, it was the last days of her life. She had come down with pneumonia. The cancer had just eaten up her body. Radiation and the chemo. The cancer was in her throat, and so she had to take treatments on her throat, and she couldn't keep anything down because of the chemo and what she could even eat and drink. She didn't really have an appetite, and she had gotten Bell's palsy in the half of her face and paralyzes half of your face, and cancer just eating up a beautiful 44-year-old woman. She had come down with pneumonia. We rushed her to ICU through ambulance, and so the very next day, I'll never forget it, Pastor, because one thing that she wanted to do, we had friends and family surrounding her bed. She was just a few days short of hospice care. But one thing she wanted to do was she wanted to sing. And one of the songs that she wanted to sing was this: what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And there I was as a 17-year-old boy looking at my mom just a few days short of heaven. And I saw that she had a friend in Jesus. It's true. It was true there in 2010. It's still true in 2019. What a friend we have in Jesus. There's three quick areas I would like to notice that we find when we find friendship with Jesus, that we find here in John chapter 15. But I'd like to present us with this question first. What kind of friendship do we have with the Lord? What kind of friendship do we have with the Lord? I believe we could categorize a friendship in a couple ways. Maybe one as a friend we could call an acquaintance, maybe. Right? Maybe someone that we say hi to on an occasional basis. Hello, maybe at work, or we pass them in the grocery store, maybe in church. There's not much of a friendship there. It's just maybe an acquaintance we say hi to on an occasional basis. But then there's that person that we could call a close friend. Maybe someone we've known for years. We trust that person. We like to maybe go out and get lunch with them or go hang out with them. May I ask us this evening, where does the Lord fit in our lives? Is he that acquaintance that we have, that we say hi to on an occasional basis, maybe in church, during worship? Maybe before we eat our meal. And that's about the extent of the relationship. Or is he that close friend that we can't wait to spend time with? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we look forward to our time spent with him. Where does God fit in our lives tonight? This message by no means is trying to beat anybody up, but rather an encouraging message that it doesn't matter who we are, God desires to be our friend, our Savior, the person who died on the cross to pay for our sins, the man who rose again 3 days later, amen, desires to be our close and intimate friend. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. May I ask us this question this evening? Does Jesus have favorites? Does Jesus have favorites? Well, no, the Bible says that he's no respecter of persons. But God does indicate that he has intimates, right? In the Old Testament, Abraham was known as a friend of God. We find in Scripture the disciples were close to the Lord. They were close friends to the Lord. They followed him closely. May I say, just as true it was in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's true today. The Lord desires close friends. He doesn't have to be that acquaintance. He could be a close and intimate friend. Imagine Abraham being known as a friend of God. When his peers looked at him, they said, look, there goes a friend of God. That's Abraham. Imagine that. Before God wanted to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, he wanted to speak to Abraham first. Just as it was true in the Old Testament and New Testament, it's true today. The Lord desires to have close, intimate relationships with his people. These three principles we find when we find friendship with the Lord, we see here in John 15. First of all, number one, I would like to notice the elevating consequence of friendship with the Lord. The elevating consequence. Read it with me here in verse number 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. This word servant here is meaning nothing more than a slave. And what's Jesus saying here? The servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. There's no relationship with there. He's just an employee. And he says, I call you not servants, but I call you friends. The elevating consequence. You see, this friendship, when we have a friendship with the Lord, it's an ennobling relationship. It's an elevating consequence. See, when we have a friendship with someone, when we have a relationship with someone, there's always a consequence. There's either a positive influence, a positive consequence, or there's a negative one. And when we have a friendship with God, it's an ennobling relationship. It brings us to a level we can never reach without this relationship. Look around us tonight, folks. We're nothing special. We're just sinners saved by grace. The fact that God, a holy God, would want to be our friend, that doesn't bring him down to our level. No, that brings us up to his level. It's an ennobling relationship. It's an elevating consequence. You ever heard the saying, you are known by your friends? And when you're friends with the Lord, you're friends with somebody. And you are somebody. The elevating consequence. I was newer to the staff at Lancaster Baptist, and one day I got a phone call from a secretary of Gabe Rule, Brother Gabe Rule. He's an executive pastor there at Lancaster Baptist, a very highly regarded man in our ministry, probably second in leadership to Pastor Chapel. And I got a call from one of his secretaries one morning, and she said, "Brother Justin, would you be available at this certain date to pick him up from the airport?" I remember sitting there in my seat thinking, wow, how cool would that be to be able to spend some alone time with Gabriel, a great soul winner, someone who's always having people and friends in church, and how awesome would that be? I remember quickly looking at my schedule, making sure I was available, and quickly accepting that invitation. Why? Because I counted it a privilege to be able just to do something for Gabriel. I thought, wow, what an awesome opportunity that would be. But can I tell you now, been on the staff for a little longer, I could personally call Gabriel a friend of mine. The other day, we went out soul winning, knocking on doors, went and grabbed a bite to eat afterwards. I've been in his house before. I've eaten a dinner in his house. I could call him a friend of mine. Was that service that I did to him a privilege? Of course. I counted it a privilege just to do something for him. But can I tell you that the relationship that I have with him now is a little bit more rewarding now that I could call him a friend of mine? May I remind us, if we were just known as servants of God, what a privilege that would be. If we were just known in our lives as a servant of God, how cool would that be? What a privilege that would be. If we were just known as a servant of our King, what a joy and privilege that would be. But it doesn't have to stop there. We can be his friend. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Is he our master? Yes. But it doesn't just have to stop there. We can be his friend. We can be as close to the Lord as we desire to be tonight. We see the elevating consequence. It's an ennobling relationship. It lifts us up. Secondly, I would like to notice the enduring cost to be a friend of Jesus. The enduring cost, look at it quickly with me in verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now, we look at this verse and we say, well, there's some strings attached here. That's not what it's saying here, I believe. You know, because when you're a friend with someone, you have to do something to prove you're a friend to that person, right? You have to spend some time with that person before it becomes your friend. You have to show that person that you care about them. Maybe text them on their birthday or get them a gift or do something to show that you love them. What are you doing? You're just proving that they're your friend. May I remind us that we find friendship with the Lord by not obeying him. We don't earn friendship with the Lord by obeying him, but rather we prove our friendship to him by obeying him. Let me say it again. We don't earn friendship by obeying the Lord, but no, we prove our friendship to him by obeying him. We want to because he's our friend. I like to compare it to or illustrate it this way. If I was walking down the streets tonight and here in Custer, South Dakota, and a stranger came up to me and said, "Excuse me, sir, can I borrow $100? No, I don't know about you, but I would have a hard time giving a stranger $100. Am I the only one here tonight? No. But let's say a close personal friend came to you. Let's say Tyler here in the group came to me. I would count Tyler a friend of mine, a pretty good friend of mine. Let's say maybe he came in the school year, during the school year, and said, "Brother Justin, I'm in a very low point. I just had a flat tire. I can't get to work. Could you loan me $100? I'd probably look at Tyler and say, "Drop dead, okay?" No, I would look at Tyler and I would say, "Well, Tyler, you know, you're a friend of mine, right? I trust Tyler. I know Tyler. I wouldn't have a hard time borrowing or loaning Tyler $100. Why? Because he's a friend of mine. See, it's not so hard for us to do something when it's for a friend, right? It's not so hard to come and help clean the church, maybe, when we consider doing that for our Savior, for a friend, working in a Sunday school classroom, helping the pastor do the offering, or being an usher, or being a deacon, helping around the church, cutting the grass. It's not so hard doing that when we count it as doing it for a friend. I look at these awesome instrumentalists who play these instruments. You know, it's probably not so hard for them to do that. Why? Because they're doing it for a friend. They're doing it for their Savior. Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." But that's not so hard when we're doing it for a friend. The things he's commanded us to do. Yes, there's an enduring cost, friendship with Jesus, but wow, what a well worth investment. We see the elevating consequence. We see the enduring cost to be a friend of Jesus. You know, you wouldn't probably call someone a personal friend if that person was constantly trying to hurt you or maybe cheat you or lying to you, right? That probably wouldn't be that good of a friend. I wonder how many of us tonight have maybe gone back on a decision we've made for the Lord. Maybe we've gone back on a commitment we've made, or maybe we've been stealing from the Lord in our tithes. Maybe we are unworthy friends tonight. Yes, there's an enduring cost, but what a well worth investment. We see the elevating consequence, the enduring cost. But lastly, I would like to notice the enriching compensation of friendship with Jesus. The enriching compensation. There's two types of compensation I would like to notice. We see here in verse 15, he makes us spiritually perceptive. He makes us spiritually perceptive. Look at it with me in verse 15. We read it a second ago. "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends." Here it is. "For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." He makes us spiritually perceptive. When we're close with God, we come to that wisdom. We find that wisdom. When we are close to God, we're in his word. We find that wisdom that's there, and we can apply it to our lives. We make better decisions when we have a close relationship with God. You know those people, it just seems like they just know so much about the Bible. May I say it might have something to do with the time they spend in God's word. That was just mentioned before. These young men who made a decision to spend in God's word, that's one of the greatest decisions you can ever make in your life. Right. Why? Because you're opening your mind to the wisdom of God. You talk to pastor here for any length of time, you'll be quick to notice there's a lot of wisdom that comes from his mouth and his mind. Why? I would have to say it has something to do with the time he spends with God and his relationship with God. He makes us spiritually perceptive. There was an account in the New Testament where, in the book of Matthew, where Jesus' disciples comes to him and they say, "Lord, why do you always speak in parables? Why do you always speak in parables?" Of course, parables were those stories the Lord would tell to illustrate his thought. Maybe not necessarily true stories, but stories that the Lord would tell to illustrate what he was trying to get across, the message. And this was his response. They asked him, "Why do you use parables?" And this was his response. He says, "The lost don't understand the truth. I have to illustrate it." He said, You know, because you're close followers of mine. You know the truth, but the lost don't. You see, when we're close with God, he brings us into the inner circle. Sacred secrets, if you will. Turn quickly with me over to Luke chapter 10. Just one chapter. Keep your place in John 15. But go over to Luke chapter 10 with me very quickly. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 23. It says, "And he," Jesus, "turned him unto his disciples and said privately," don't miss this, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." What's Jesus saying here? Hey, the kings and the prophets wished. They knew the things that you know, and they heard the things that you hear. Jesus says, when you're close to him, the kings and the prophets wish they knew what you know. He brings us in the inner circle. He makes us spiritually perceptive. Secondly, I would like to notice, he makes us spiritually productive. Back in John 15, verse 16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, but not just any fruit. He says, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You ever heard that saying? It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's not what you know, but it's who you know. See, the Lord in our lives, he desires for us to experience fruit. And you know what's going to hinder that fruit, the blessings, the fruit, seeing people saved and the growth, the spiritual growth? You know what's going to hinder that is when we are away from God and when we do not have a relationship with him. Teenagers, how are you going to make your decisions last? It's when you do what you decided, get in God's word and start a relationship with him. And then you will see the growth and he will make you spiritually productive fruit, but fruit that remaineth. He makes us spiritually productive. What's the Bible say? Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. When we have a close relationship with God, he makes us spiritually productive. It's just going back to that illustration with Tyler here. I didn't mind giving something to Tyler because he's my friend. I wonder how many of us say, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. I wonder how much of our relation, how much that has to do with our relationship with him. God, I can see you sometimes maybe looking down at us saying, do you only come to me when you need something? Where are you Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday? Maybe it's unanswered prayer tonight. Maybe our spiritual growth has been stunted. How are we going to grow? It's our relationship with him. He desires for us to have life and life more abundantly. He makes us spiritually productive. One of my favorite passages in all the Bible is Psalms 34. David's speaking here and he says this. He was at a very low time in his life. He had a need in his life. And he says this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And here it is in verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. My challenge to us tonight is simply this. Maybe we've wandered from God. Maybe we've had a time in our life where we've been closer to him than we are right now. Maybe we don't know him at all tonight. But we just simply taste and see his goodness. May we come to him with that need. He's that friend that wants to spend time with us. What's our friendship look like with him tonight? He hath not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There's no greater friend than Jesus. Maybe you're dealing with something tonight. Maybe you have a need in your life. There's a friend who wants to get to know you. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never met Jesus. You say, Justin, I'm not only not his friend, I don't even know Jesus. Why don't you come tonight and be introduced to him? There'll be someone here tonight, pastor, who would love to introduce you. to the greatest friend you'll ever have, Jesus Christ. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. Why don't you come tonight and be introduced to the greatest friend you'll ever have, Jesus Christ. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Shall we pray tonight? Dear Holy Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for your faithfulness. Lord, it doesn't matter where we are in our life. You're always there for us. We can always come to you. It doesn't matter what we've come out of. It doesn't matter where we are. Lord, you're always there. Lord, the Bible says that you're our Father for your children, but it doesn't have to stop there. You're our Master, but it doesn't have to stop there. You can be our friend. What an amazing privilege and thought that is. Well, I pray that we would look at our friendship tonight and examine it and see maybe if there's been a time in our life where we've been closer to you, maybe we were wandering from you, we would get that right tonight. You're waiting on us with open arms. We thank you for it, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand tonight? The pianist is going to play a song of invitation. Maybe you'd like to come to the altar tonight. Maybe do business with the Lord where you're at. Maybe you're wandering from him tonight. Maybe there's been a time where you've been closer to him than you are right now. Maybe you've been trying to overcome something on your own, and you haven't been going to that person who's the answer to your need, that friend who wants to meet with you. Why don't you come and talk to that friend tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You've never met Jesus. Why don't you come and meet him? We would love to rejoice with you about coming and getting saved. What a friend we have in Jesus. As the pianist plays, you do business with the Lord. Pastor?
Still bowed. Let me ask this question. Would there be someone that would say, I don't know Christ as my Savior? His mother laid on her deathbed and said she wanted to sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let me ask you a question. If you are on your deathbed tonight and you were about to die, what would you be thinking or singing or screaming? You know Jesus is your Savior? Would there be someone that would maybe look up at me while no one else is looking, just look up at me and say, Pastor, I don't think I know, but I'd like to know. I'm willing to privately take you somewhere and talk with you, or my wife could, about salvation. Is there anyone that would lift up your head and say, Pastor, that's me. I don't think I know where I'd go if I died. Anyone?